Yes, I was trying to sneak in a little bit, but I wanted to make sure we could get together with the family while we're here. And and Dana's part of the family, so it goes from there. But I'm rejoicing in the Lord this morning. It's good to be in the house of worship. It's good to be with Christian brothers and sisters to study the Word together. So, yeah, I would like to be there sitting and listening to someone else share, but I'm glad that we can share from God's Word. God has been so good to us. He's blessed us in so many ways. We just come through Thanksgiving, and I trust that it's not just Thanksgiving Day that we're thankful people, but that we're thankful all the time. And I had to think of that one song we sang there about I owe a debt I could not pay. And I think it was like the second verse, and I'm not sure if I can get it in my head, but it said, maybe it was the last verse, but it said, whenever Jesus returns, whenever the one that paid our debt comes back, what a joyful time that will be to look into his face and to just give him that thanks and that praise. But we need to be ready for that time. And so this morning, I would like to share from God's Word, and I've entitled the message, Walking the Talk. Walking the Talk. You know, today, talk is so cheap. We listen to the news, or you read the news, whatever it is, and people say whatever they want to say. It doesn't matter if it's lying. They can stand up and lie to you with a straight face and believe their own lies. That's what's so amazing. And so talk is just cheap. It's not worth anything. So I'd like to pick on Jeffrey this morning. So Jeffrey, if I told you that I'm a police officer, would you believe me? Why not? You know too much, huh? Oops, excuse me. So Jeffrey says he wouldn't believe me if I told him I'm a police officer. Well, I'm a pretty truthful man, Anna. I hope I've come across that way. But he doesn't believe me. So, Jeffrey, if I came here this morning and I had a uniform on, I had a badge, and I had a gun on my side, would you believe I'm a police officer? More likely to. Now, if I took that gun and I come up and I demanded your wallet from you, and I would jump into my car and I'd go speeding down the highway, spinning around, doing donuts, and maybe crashing the car, would you still believe I'm a police officer? No. Because police officers usually keep the law, right? They're supposed to keep the law. So, Jeffrey says, I don't look like a police officer, but even if I wore the look and I didn't act like a police officer, he wouldn't believe that I am one. So should people believe that I'm a Christian if I don't act and look like one? If I don't act like a Christian? If I don't act like a follower of Jesus Christ, should they believe that I'm a Christian? No, they won't believe. And I believe that's one of the reasons why evil is abounding in our and this darkness is overtaking our land today is because too many Christians are not really walking the talk. There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of people proclaiming that they're a follower of Jesus Christ, that they're a believer in Jesus. But then in their everyday life, you know, the crooked deals and the bitterness and the anger and the unforgiveness that so many are carrying around and the, you know, just the words that they speak, the way they talk. It's not like Jesus. It's not like Jesus. Someone has said that your lifestyle speaks so loudly I can't hear what you're saying. And that's a shame. But that's my challenge this morning is, are we walking the talk? We're here this morning and I really appreciate the presence of each one. It shows that you have a desire to know Jesus. You have a desire to follow after Jesus. That's why you're here. I trust that's why you're here. And not just because you have to be here. If you're here because you have to be here, then most likely you won't get much out of this service today. But if you're here because you want to know about the Lord Jesus, you want to know how better to walk the talk, then I believe you can be challenged and you can be blessed this morning. So this morning I'd like to look at some scriptures on how should we walk? What does this mean to walk the talk? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and I'll read verse 1 to 3 and then we'll jump over to 17 to 24. appreciate the book of Ephesians. This book is so practical, it's so rich and so full, and I get excited when we get looking into Ephesians, especially the first chapter, the first couple chapters there. You know, and just going back to being thankful there in the second chapter, you know, it says at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. And so we have so much to be thankful for. And that's what gets me excited as I look at the book of Ephesians. What Christ has done for us as Gentile people. He has come to redeem us. He's come to redeem the whole world, not just the Gentiles, but especially those of us that had no hope. We were not a part of Jesus' lineage. But he adopted us into his family. God adopted us into his family through Jesus Christ. So I'm so thankful for that. Now as we come into chapter 4 and 5 and 6, they're very practical chapters on how we should live. As followers of Jesus Christ, how should we live? Verse 1 of chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. And that word beseech means to plead, to beg, to urge. So the Apostle Paul is telling the Ephesian Christians here, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I plead and I beg and I urge you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Walk worthy. That word worthy, I believe, means to as becometh. So Paul is pleading with the Christians there in Ephesians, in Ephesus. He's pleading with them and he's pleading with us, I believe, today, that we walk as becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on, he starts saying how that walk should be. With all lowliness and meekness, with humility, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And then he goes on with some more there. But he's just showing us here that he's pleading with us to walk worthy of that vocation, to walk worthy of that name of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then go over to verse 17, I guess. I'm going to jump over there. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. That's not the way Jesus is. That's not the way Christ is. That's not how he acts. So, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught of him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, verse 24. We'll go on to some of the later verses here a little bit more. But I want to think about walking as becometh a disciple of Jesus Christ. So in other words, I believe Paul is telling us here, don't walk like the world, serving self and the old carnal nature, greedily grasping for anything that we can get of the pleasures and the wealth of this world, but be transformed, be changed, be renewed and you're transformed by the renewing of your mind to follow after Christ in humility and meekness, forbearing one another in love, being peaceful and long-suffering as Christ is with us. Walk as a child of God. And I like that word there, transformed. We think about the butterfly, how the caterpillar is changed into a butterfly. It's transformed. It's a whole new creature. And I believe that's the way we are to be as disciples of Jesus Christ. As we have learned of Jesus, it changes us. It changes us. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our mind is now on the things above and not on the things of this earth. So, to walk worthy of that vocation, we need to have a transformed mind. That we need to walk as Jesus walked. So now, what does that look like? Well, in Ephesians 5:1, it says also, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And so, just a thought I want to bring in there, that we, you know, as a child, looks like, acts like, talks like his father most of the time, or his mother. They represent. You can pretty well tell what family they come from by the way they act, by the way they look, and so forth. And so, as followers of God, we need to be followers of God as dear children. We need to look like his children. We need to act like his children. That's part of walking worthily. Now, what does this look like? Well, if we go to Ephesians 4 and verse 29, I believe we need to walk as a builder. Verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." That word edifying means building up. So we are to be careful how we speak. The words that come out of our mouth, we're not to use corrupt communication, but we're to use that which is good to the building up. And so, in other words, don't tear others down with your speech. We need to think about what we're saying and how we're responding so that we're not tearing down others with our speech or our life. Maybe by immorality or a critical speech or a critical life tears down. It discourages people. We don't like to be around somebody that's always negative, always critical. It discourages you, right? But when somebody's rejoicing in their walk with God and it's just radiating from their life, you like to be around them. It just kind of rubs off on you. And it makes you feel a whole lot better when you're with somebody that's building up, that's an encourager, that's there beside you, lifting up your hands and encouraging you to press on. It's a lot nicer to be around those people than somebody that's always just down in you and putting you down. And so, as a Christian, the way that we are to walk as a child of God is to be one that builds up. The scriptures tell us that we need to build up. We go over to in verse 11 to 16, brings these same thoughts out. It says, and he talks about God gave gifts unto different ones. He says he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all have a work to do. Now, God has called some of us to be preachers. God has called some of us to be evangelists or prophets, teachers, whatever. But it's to build each other up. It's to help you to perform the work of building up the body of Christ. That's the duty that we all have, is to be those builders. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That just amazes me. That's our duty as a church. We're here to build one another up to the measure of the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ. Are we really walking the talk? Are we that builder? That encourager? That is pushing one another onward and upward to be more like Christ. A challenge for us, is it not? So don't get caught up in the fear and the criticizing going on today. And I had to think about that, you know, with this pandemic, with the things that are happening in our world this last year or two years, people are fearful. There are so many people that are just driven by fear. They don't know what the future holds. They don't know what they're going to do. And this whole pandemic thing is just driving them mad. You know, we see a lot of the riots. We see all the things that are going on, and people are on edge. They're just angry. And I think it all comes from that fear. And many are criticizing different government offices and things like that, and people, they're just very critical. They're talking about it, they're running it down, and so forth. Let's, as a Christian, let's be careful we don't get caught up in that thing. But I think as a church, we have a great opportunity. As people are so fearful, as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, we should be going forth with the message of peace, the message of hope, the message of joy, that we don't need to be fearful, but we have a God that is supreme, a God that is ruling over this world, a God who is the King, and we're his child. So go forth with that message of peace and build up and courage. Draw people to Jesus Christ. Get their focus on Jesus and not on the things that are happening in this world. I need to hurry on. Walk in kindness and forgiveness, I think, is another part of walking worthy of our calling. Walking worthy of our calling as a disciple of Jesus. We need to walk in kindness and forgiveness. We see that in verse 31 and 32 of chapter 4. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. How do we respond to people that do us wrong, that misuse us, take advantage of us? Can we forgive them as Christ forgave us? If there's bitterness or anger toward anyone in our life, we're not walking the talk. We're not walking as Jesus walked. Jesus, when he was being nailed to the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Can we forgive those that do evil to us, that do us wrong? Are we able to say, "Father, forgive them"? Can we forgive and show kindness as Christ did to us? You know, in Matthew 6:14 and 15, Jesus says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That's not my words, brothers and sisters. That's the words of Jesus. So we dare not, we cannot hang on to bitterness or ill feelings or grudges towards someone that's done us wrong. We dare not do that. Or otherwise, God will not forgive us. So we must be kind and forgiving as we walk as Christ walked. We must walk in love. Ephesians 5:2. We go over to the next chapter. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Walk in love. Walk in love. You know, there's many people say they love Jesus. They love God. But what does that look like? How can we tell if you love Jesus? It should be different, because the world does not love like Jesus loved. We see the evidences of that. So how does it look to love as God loved or as Jesus loved us? I think loving others as God loved us is one way that we show our love for Jesus. It's our love for God is we love the same way he loved. Those that do us wrong, we still respond in kindness. We show our love. We pray for. We sacrifice for those even that do us wrong. That's showing the love of Christ. I think another way we show our love to God is that we're not ashamed to be identified. You know, I love my wife. And I'm not ashamed to sit beside her. I'm not ashamed to hold her hand. I'm not ashamed to let you know that she's my wife. I'm not ashamed to be with her because I love her. So what about Jesus? Is our love so great for him that we're not ashamed to be identified as one of his children, as his spouse, his bride, the one that he's coming back for in a short time, I believe. That's another way we can show our love for Jesus. I think another way, yet that's just as important, and there's probably many more, but another one that I had down here is by keeping his commandments. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." The New Living Translation I like, it says, "Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." His commandments are not burdensome. How many of us keep the commands of God because we have to? It's kind of burdensome. I hope not. But too many times as we look at people's lives and we deal with people, and it's just they're rubbed raw, or they're grated upon as they read the scriptures and they see how God wants them to walk, how God wants them to love, how God wants them to forgive. And they just have a hard time doing that. But the scripture said, if we love God, then His commandments are not burdensome. But it's something we want to do. So as we think about our command to the command in the scriptures to love our enemies, to do good to those that despitefully use us, to not seek revenge, to be non-resistant, is that burdensome? I know our flesh, we still live in the flesh. And sometimes when somebody cuts us off in the traffic do something, maybe take advantage of us in our business, rip us off. And what are the attitudes and things that come up right away is not Christ-like. It's from the flesh. We want to get revenge. We want to seek a way that we can get back. No, as a child of God, if we're walking the talk, we need to. That's not burdensome. It's not a burden to forgive, to do good, to return good for evil, and so forth. The command to not be conformed to this world, to dress modestly and simplicity and sex distinction, the headship order and its sign, submission one to another, preferring others above ourselves, brotherhood, and gathering together for worship, the command not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together to study God's word and to be edified and built up. Is it burdensome? Would you rather be someone else, somewhere else this morning? Did you come seeking and desiring to meet with God this morning? Or was it something, well, what would people say if I didn't show up this morning? I trust not. But you see, to show our love to Jesus, we do these things because we want to, because we love Him, and not because what someone might say or what we might be thought of. But it's because of our love. It flows out of our love for Him. Loving God is expressed and shown in joyful obedience to all of His commands. Appreciated the song that the song leader led this morning. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Just that simple obedience to God's commands brings so much joy, and it's the only way to live. Ephesians 5, 3 to 7 says we need to walk in purity. Ephesians 5, let's read verse 3 to 7. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Purity. The lack of moral purity among professing Christians, those who profess, those who have the talk, I believe has discouraged, has turned away, and deadened the ears to the gospel probably more than about any other sin that Christians are excusing and covering today. And that's so sad. Moral purity. God says, these things should not be once named among you, but rather we need to be giving thanks. We need to, if we failed in this area of purity, repent. God is a God of love and forgiveness, and He will forgive if we confess our sins. He's promised us that. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. So we don't need to hide these things, but they need to be confessed and forgiven. If we want the message, our talk, to have any power among the people that we're with. So let's not discourage or turn people away from following Jesus Christ by the inconsistencies, by the sins that we're covering of moral purity and so forth in our life. We need to also walk in contentment, not covetous. Covetous, it says here in covetousness here in verse 5, is the same as idolatry. Nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So covetousness, I believe, is that strong desire for more than one possesses, or more of the things of the world, and also the wish to have more than one possesses, or to gain dishonestly, taking advantage of people or whatever, that covet that covetous desire to have more and to get it in any way that we can is wrong. The scriptures say that's idolatry. Now, we would never bow down to some wooden image or golden image. We'd say, well, that's idolatry. We'd never do that. But there's many other things, I believe, that can come in there and be idolatry in our life. And the scriptures say, if we're going to walk like Christ, we need to cast them aside. We need to put them away. And we dare not have idols in our life if we're going to walk as Christ. Are we free of this sin? Or does our lifestyle show we desire more and more of this world and its things? You know, just a real challenge that I need to keep challenging myself with. You know, what is my focus in life? Am I focused on the things of this world and what more I can get, what more things I can do? Or am I focused on the kingdom of Jesus Christ? Is my desires driven to serve Jesus, to bring glory and honor to His kingdom, to His name? Or is it the things of this world? Is my affection set on things above? In 1 Timothy 6:6, it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. And so, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we need to walk in contentment. Satisfied, content with where we are, with what God is doing with us, what He is providing for us. Give Him the praise and the glory for that, and be content with what He has done for you and is doing for you. Verse 6 of chapter 5, we need to walk in truth. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Another, I think it's the NLT, says, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, but walk in truth. I believe walking in truth means we need to be a radical biblicist. A biblicist is a person who seeks to mold their personal life after the precepts and principles taught by the Bible in its entirety, without attempting to mold those biblical principles and precepts to fit previous denominational and doctrinal teachings. I think that's a good challenge for us, that as we read the Word of God, we read the Word of God with an openness and a desire to be obedient to His Word, and that we don't let our backgrounds, our culture, and those things shape or mold how we believe or how we accept the teachings of God's Word. Let no man deceive you with vain words, but desire to know the truth. Don't just go by what others say. And this has been a real burden of mine as I look at our culture, as I look at our world today, I look at Christians today. So many are not reading the Bible. You know, this is God's instructions for us. This is how we are to live. And so many don't take the time to read through His Word, to understand His Word. You know, they might read a short devotional every morning, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But are we taking the time to digest, to read the whole Word of God? Not just parts of it, but to know the truth. You know, I had a sister that we were working with in our church, came from another group. And in that group that they came from, the leader of that group said, as long as you stay in the church and are faithful to the church, I will stand for you at the judgment. And I said, no. No, you can't. There's no man can do that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no one else that's going to stand before God, your Father, in your place except Jesus Christ. He is the only one. There's no man can do that. But she says, Harlan, what if it's true? I said, it's not true. Here's what God's Word says. This is what it says. There is no other way. There is no other man. It is only Jesus Christ. So, dear brothers and sisters, know the truth. Because there's all kinds of deceptive voices out there today, trying to get people, get followers, and trying to get people to do it their way, whatever. You know, and they got all these kinds of doctrines and things that they're promoting. And they're drawing away people from the faith. They're taking them away from followers of Jesus Christ. And so my challenge to each of you here this morning, know the truth. Know the truth. Don't let any man deceive you by excusing or covering the sins that were mentioned here and others. Know the truth. Get into the Word of God. Study it. Meditate upon it. And live your life by it. Walk as a light. Walk as a light. Verses 8 to 14. For ye were sometimes darkness. Yeah, that's every one of us. We were sometimes in darkness, weren't we? But now, ye are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. Don't just talk about it, but walk. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. Light, excuse me. And Christ shall give thee light. So we need to walk as a light. But first of all, we must walk in the light. If we are to walk as a light, then I believe our life must be untarnished from sin. Because you see, we are not that light. And John says that in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. He says, I am not that light, but I have been sent to bear witness of that light. And so that's what we are. We're sent to bear witness of the light of Jesus Christ. And so I like to think of it as we're just reflectors. You know, as Jesus Christ reigns, as he sets up his kingdom, as he sets up his throne in our life, then his glory, his light reflects from us as we keep ourselves, as we keep our reflectors untarnished by sin. If we let sin in our life, then it clouds the mirror, it fogs the mirror, and the light does not radiate, the light does not go forth. And so we need to walk as a light. We need to walk in the light and then as a light. There's a lot of other scriptures we can look to there too in John 8:12. I'm going to just turn to some of these quickly here. John 8:12. Jesus speaking here. Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. So Jesus said, if we follow him, then his glory, his light just reflects from us. We have the light of life. Also, we go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so it gives us a thought there that as we, with a desire and a willingness to be changed into the image of Christ, as we look into his word, it's like a mirror. And as we look into this word, we see Jesus Christ. And as we meditate and we look at Jesus, our life is changed into that same image. So his glory, his likeness bears in our life as we behold him, his image, his glory in the word of God. And then we go over to chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians there, verse 6 and 7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The light is not of us. It is only as Jesus Christ dwells in this earthen vessel, in this earthen jar, that his glory can radiate from us. We cannot make the light, but it's only as we walk in the light that we can be a light to the world around us. So may we walk the talk in walking in the light. We need to walk in fruitfulness. Walk in fruitfulness. I believe ever bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so, is the joy of the Lord radiating from our lives? Do people know that you love being a child of God? Do people know, your co-workers, the people that you're around, your friends, do they know that you love the Lord Jesus Christ? And that you enjoy being his child, that you enjoy being his servant, being his hands, being his feet, that you just really enjoy? That's where you find your enjoyment in life from. Do they know by the way that you love others and you love God? Do they know that you are His child, that you love Him? Do they see the peace of God reigning in your heart, especially as we mentioned this time that we're living in with all the fear and the things that are going on in our world today? Do people see the peace, the contentment, the trust in God in our life? Walk in fruitfulness. John says in chapter 15, verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Jesus wants us to walk in fruitfulness, doing the works of God, sharing the gospel. As he says there when he was about to ascend unto heaven, he says, ye are my witnesses. Go into all the world. Let's walk in fruitfulness, doing the works of God for His glory. Verse 5 of chapter 15 says, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Again, showing us that we must abide in Christ if we're going to be ever bearing fruit for Him. We need to walk circumspectly. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17. Walk circumspectly. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Circumspectly. I believe that word circumspectly means to be diligent and careful to consider all related circumstances before acting, judging, or deciding. That's a challenge, isn't it? It's before we make those decisions to seek God, to seek His way, to seek His will, to be careful to consider where this decision will lead me. What effect is it going to have on myself? What effect is it going to have on my family? What is it going to do? You know, someone has said Satan is willing to wait on our grandchildren if he can get us to make an unwise choice that leads to their apostasy. That's how sly he is. That's how cunning he is. So there's things that we may be able to handle as a parent. There's things maybe that we can overcome. And we make decisions of allowance or whatever it might be. But where is it going to lead our grandchildren? What's going to happen to the next generations? We need to walk circumspectly, careful to consider all these things. We need to walk with a purpose. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We need to walk with a purpose. So what is our purpose? I believe our purpose is given in 1 Corinthians 10:31. Wherefore, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all for the glory of God. And so our purpose on being in this life is to do everything for the glory of God. We want God to receive the glory from our life, from everything that we do. The works, the deeds of kindness, and everything that we do, they need to be for the glory of God. Our daily work, just going out there and building fence or working on vehicles or car or equipment or building a house, whatever it may be, we need to do it for the glory of God, not for ourselves. So our purpose is to give God the glory. And as we have that purpose, then I believe we'll want to use our time wisely, redeeming the time because the days are evil. There's a song that has really been precious to me. I just heard it not too long ago in the past year, I think it is. It says, this person, it says, have I done all that I could do in the time that you gave me? And I thought about that. You know, I don't know when my time is up. I don't know when He's going to call me home. But have I done all that I could do in the time that I have? Have I done all that I could do for the glory of God? And I need to confess that I failed in that. Too much of my life has been to do things for myself, to get more things, to advance or to prosper in the things of this world. But our purpose is here. Our purpose needs to be for the glory of God. And so we need to walk with that purpose. And by God's grace, I want to do that. I want to walk with that purpose of giving Him all glory and doing all things for His glory and His praise. It's not about us, brothers and sisters. It's about God. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what life is all about. So walk with Him and talk the talk and walk with Him. We need to walk with understanding. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Walk with understanding. So how do we know what the will of the Lord is? The psalmist in Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." So again, I go back and challenging you with take time in the word of God. It's the only way that we're going to be able to stand in these evil days, because there's so many deceptive voices, so many things floating around. The only way that we can stand is we got to know the truth, and that this is the truth. This is the truth, the word of God. We know it. We're assured of it. And we must stand upon it. It's the only thing that will see us through this tumultuous sea that we're living in, is the word of God. So let's take time to study the word of God and to know the word of God. And then the last one I have this morning is we need to walk in submission. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And it goes on and talks about husband and wife relationships. But I think if we're going to walk the talk, we need to walk in submission. To God, to one another, to our family, to our church, to our government, it all comes into play. That submission is part of our walk as a child of God. Jesus said, "I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." And that's what we're called to do. We, as the disciples, as the children that have been adopted into his family, are called to do the Father's will, not our will, but the Father's will. So let's walk in submission to his word, to each other, fulfilling the roles that God has given us. Let's be faithful in that. And so, my friends and brothers and sisters this morning, as we live in these evil days, let's unashamedly identify with God and walk the talk of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's my prayer for each one of us. You know, we don't know if we'll see each other again on this earth, but let's be faithful. Let's walk the talk. Let's pray.